Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. For more on our 2021 offers, contact your local Kia dealer or log on to kia.com.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
And Joe at RTE.ie. Susan, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
Now, I've seen photographs of what you've to live beside, and it's I will defy anybody. I don't know how we can get the photographs up because we don't want to identify where you live and the person.
Exactly.
But I don't know how you could adequately describe what you're living beside in words. But you can try. Overgrown is the first word.
Overgrown is the first word. And the second word would be nightmare.
Okay, now how overgrown? It's a house. It's a suburban house. It's mid-terrace. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
Okay, and that doesn't have a side entrance either side. You're beside it. And when you look out, you go upstairs in your bedroom window. What do you see when you look out, say, the front bedroom window? What are you looking at next door?
It's you can't really see anything because the bush is after overgrown that much that there's two cars in the driveway and they're being swallowed up by the bush.
Okay, it's like
it's
you
that
look,
overgrown.
It'd be like you looking down on a jungle. Just a tree. You're looking at treetops in the garden.
Yes.
Okay. Now, come back down the stairs and stand in front of the house. How did they get to I could see the photograph of the two cars covered. How long have those cars been sitting in that driveway?
Well, one is there about, I'd say it was the first car they got, and that's probably 15 years. And the other one is there about probably 8 years.
So the two of them have been left there and are completely overgrown by bushes, trees, plants, hedges.
Growth.
Just covered.
Yeah.
Okay. How did they get to their hall door?
Well, as you can see, there's not much of a space to get in through past the two cars there. Hmm. I honestly don't know.
Is their front downstairs window covered by vegetation?
Yes.
Is their upstairs window covered by vegetation?
Almost.
Almost, okay. Now, out to the back of the house. Again, a mid-terrace house, suburban house.
Yeah.
When you look upstairs in your back bedroom window and you look out, what do you see?
Well, we have a wall between our house and their house, and that wall is about 7 foot high, and the growth from their garden is as tall, almost up to the wall.
So you're looking out. I'm looking at the photograph of it here again.
It's almost up to the wall.
So their downstairs is completely covered. They, I don't know how they can see out. I know you said they can squeeze through their front door through the David Attenborough jungle, but they couldn't squeeze through the back. Sure they couldn't?
God, no.
Unless they had a machete.
There's a small extension out the back and it's caved into the kitchen.
It's gone?
It's caved in, yeah.
Because I'm now looking at the photograph of the back and there's no way, nobody comes out. Well, I can't see the back door anyway, but nobody...
I wouldn't say there's anyone been in that garden for years.
And the vegetation at the back goes up to the upstairs, halfway up the upstairs bedroom window, and it's also over, I presume, that small window.
It's all growing over on... I have an extension on the house and it's all growing over on, and it's after moving tiles off the top of my extension.
So it's a creeping jungle.
It is. Yeah, it's hard to believe that there's actually somebody living there.
It's more like
a derelict building.
And there are people living there,
there's people living there.
Okay.
Yeah.
And who owns the house?
Pardon me?
Is it a council house?
It's they're council tenants.
Okay. Now, the effect it's had on you living beside it, and I'm sure the other neighbours as well, but tell us your scenario, because you seem to be completely...
Well, I will not go out my back garden because of the infestation of everything that's coming from that garden. We have a very bad infestation of mice. And we're kind of hoping that something will be done about it. Mm-hmm. They have come out and put traps down in that front garden and in my back garden.
And when you say an infestation of mice?
We've been infestation of mice in our house, but
oh, good
our
Lord.
Dog was bitten in the front garden by a rat.
Your dog was
bitten by a rat on the neck.
Your dog didn't bite the rat. The rat bit the dog.
If you saw the size of the dog, you'd think that the dog would attack the rat because he's a big, he's like a huge big, it's an Alaskan Malamute. He's like a big husky. Do you know those kind of dogs?
Yeah.
But he was attacked by a rat. And it cost a few bob in the vet now to get him looked after.
So there's rats, there's mice.
There's rats. Now, I saw a rat out in my back garden on the wall, and I will not go out the back garden since, but the environmental health have come up, pest control, and they've put traps down. And I'm actually waiting for them to return.
But more importantly, I hope the council, whoever came up, I hope they knocked on the door to see that everyone was okay.
Next door?
Yes.
I honestly don't know what's happening there. I have been onto the council on a weekly basis to find out.
But have you seen, I obviously don't want to identify it, have you seen people come and leave the house?
Yeah, I see two every day.
So they're well, like?
Physically,
obviously.
Well, they're walking around on their two legs. So, yeah.
And everything else is walking around on four legs by the sound of it. Rats, mice. And what about that level of vegetation surely generates... Where's Derek Mooney when I need him? It surely generates insects and frogs and birds and...
It's everything... Listen, frogs wouldn't bother me that much now, but and birds wouldn't bother me that much, but rats bother me. Mm. And mice, our house between live ones and dead ones, there's a constant smell of decaying mouse in my house. I was in my kitchen 1 minute, sitting at the table with my partner, and a mouse came out, as cheeky as anything.
Looking for his dinner.
And looked at us. And then we were in my living room watching TV about a half an hour after that, and here comes the mouse walking across the floor. You know, I know mice come in the winter, but that's a joke.
And the smell sounds from the... You say
and
decaying...
There's a smell of decaying mouse. We honestly didn't know where the smell was coming from, but we think it was the fireplace. And I was going to light the fire and try and do something there, but I just kept candles lighting and to get rid of this.
It's a difficult one. Obviously, I want to keep away from identifying, but there's a million houses in Ireland at this stage, no more. Are there children in the house, do you know?
Two. Yeah, two children. There's no children in mine at the moment. I normally mind my grandchildren, but my son won't allow my children to come up to the house while all this is going on, especially with the rats, until we sort that out.
And what do the council say?
Well, their liaison officer is in talks with the person. Hmm. So that's all I'm hearing.
See,
I'm trying to get across, you know, how bad it is in my home with the infestation of everything. It's not just that, it's bugs as well. It's vital. Like, I have an arachnophobia, and you'd want to see the size of the spiders. You know, they're huge. I'm terrified of them. It's a ridiculous light that I have to... My daughter's partner lives around the corner, and I have to phone him to come around. It's on a daily basis, either to put a trap down, a mouse, or my son will have to, when he comes back from work, I have to get him to come up them.
But surely the council has a duty of care to those people in that house, and indeed to...
They do, but they're not doing anything.
And how long has it been as bad as this, do you reckon? I know the carriage is...
It's going on, I'd say, about 10 years now.
Wow.
About 10 years, yeah.
So I want to take a break because, on the one hand, I'm just so tempted to ask you what I think are basic questions, but obviously I've got to be very careful about... I don't want to identify those individuals for obvious reasons. If they want to talk, it'd be great if they would phone us on 1857. If they can identify themselves, right there, if they can, from that 1857-715-815. But the main thing is to talk about the effect that it's having on you, and I'll continue that. Or if anyone has any ideas, I think we're going to try and and pardon the pun, crop the photos to put them out on Twitter so you won't be able to identify the house.
Yeah.
But just as I say, I don't think, I know the picture is supposed to be better on radio, but I don't think pictures on radio could adequately, words on radio could adequately describe
what you're looking at.
And the fact that it's on a suburban street. This is not, you know, those programmes that do be on Sky or whatever, where they find a 75-year-old tractor buried in undergrowth for the last, which is like these images here. But they then make a documentary about renovating the tractor and getting it started again and knocking down the wood so they can drive the tractor out. But this is completely different. There's nothing novel about this. This is on a suburban street.
I have neighbours on a daily basis asking me, is there anybody living in that house beside you?
Yeah.
You know, on a daily basis, every time I go to the shop,
see,
I have people asking me about the overgrowth.
Yeah, okay. Stay with us, Susan. I just want to regroup my own head about what I can ask you without identifying those people. 51551 Marchant.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
Susan has contacted us, and it's important to understand the spirit of Susan's call, even though what she's going through. She lives on a suburban street, and she's in a mid-terrace house, and her neighbours are in a mid-terrace house as well, and the neighbour's house, front and back, is overgrown. Now, when I say overgrown, you're talking about vegetation going up to the upstairs bedrooms, completely blocking the front of the house, completely blocking, with one exception, to get in and out the hall door, the front of the house. It's like looking at a jungle, and the back of the house is similar, and there's no way, as far as I can see, and Susan knows, that people could enter or exit the back of the house because it's completely overgrown. You can't even see the back of the house with trees and vegetation. This has led to mice, rats, insects, spiders, whatever else you can find in the jungle. Now, the spirit of Susan's call is she wants to try and get help, both just for the garden. And if those people in the house need help in clearing the garden, we will do our absolute utmost to help them clear the garden. Susan, can I ask you, have you ever spoken to the people?
Oh, yes, yeah. My son has approached the lady on numerous occasions in a very, very civil manner.
Okay.
I think we've gone down every avenue. I've been on the TDs as well, you know, for help.
Okay.
And, of course, the council.
Okay, go ahead, Susan.
There have to be underlying problems.
Well, we don't know that, but we're trying to get help if there are.
Yeah.
Patrick, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe. How's things?
What was your situation?
Yeah, it was very similar there to that lady's story. Went on for about 5 years where rubbish was dumped in the back garden daily, left. They had no regular bin collection. So any of the household waste was just put out in the back garden. The garden wasn't maintained. I think I sent you a couple of pictures there to give you an idea. But like that, yeah, onto the council over and over again. They'd call out, the residents wouldn't open the door. They'd send letters. The dog warden was out, environmental health was out, rats in the garden. Just, you know, it was, and it got to the stage, we actually moved.
You moved because of next
door? We moved house, yeah, yeah.
And what was the rat that broke the camel's back or whatever? What?
It was the smell in the summertime. It was the smell of rotting vegetation and rubbish in the back garden. You couldn't even sit out the back garden on a nice day.
And did you get, I'm looking at Susan. Susan, do you get foxes in that vegetation? Do you get animals, badgers, hedgehogs? Like, it's completely overgrown.
I haven't seen any of them. Okay. I think there's a lot of foxes around this area, all right.
Anyway, there is a lot.
In the evening.
Okay, what were you getting then? What animals were you getting next door, Patrick?
Rats that would have been the size of a small car. They were that big. They were well fed. But yeah, there were plenty of rats like that. There was loads of foxes around as well at night time, the urban fox. But I think they would have been around anyway.
And did your neighbours, we're talking about completely different neighbours, obviously, to Susan, but did your neighbours, Patrick and Ashley, did they have pets?
They did. They had three dogs that barked from sunrise to sunset.
And what were they barking at?
They were locked in a run out the back, at the back door, in amongst all the rubbish. They were left in that all day. And by the way, it wasn't the case that they were at work or anything like that. They were there was regular people there at the house, you know.
And again, I stress, you've nothing to do with Susan's location. But did
No, Susan is very familiar, and I don't know Susan, but yeah.
Patrick, did you ask the people next door? Is there any way you could start sorting out the rubbish?
There was initial contact at the start, but you know it was met with aggression all the time. So we left and we said we'd leave it to the council, but there was absolutely nothing that the council could do because there's four of them in the house and the rubbish was allowed to continue to be built up and the garden was left like a forest.
And was there children in the house?
Yes, yeah. Now, older children, you know, you're talking...
Teenagers.
Early double digits.
Yeah, but still, Tusla have roles.
You know, yeah, yeah.
You don't want children living in that.
No, the smell is particularly bad. You
the
know,
smell.
We'll come into the back of the house.
Okay.
Sitting room of the house.
Tell me about the decision to move.
Yeah, well, it went on for so long that there was no joy in living there. So we made the conscious decision that I would commute an hour to work, so we'd have a nice house and a nice area. Because,
but did it mean you had to sell your house?
Yeah.
And how did you... But anyone coming to see your house? What do you do?
No,
put blinkers on them?
Yeah. Well, we were lucky that, you know, the area was... I'd call it handy for Dublin City and... You know, it was a single man who moved in. So,
did you have to explain to him that?
Yeah. Because whenever anybody came, the dogs would be going mental out the back garden, and it was a massive distraction when you're talking to anybody.
But did you say to him, unless you're David Attenborough, you won't enjoy living here?
Well, look, you know, he was brought upstairs and he was allowed to look out the back window, and he saw what the pictures that you got. You know, he saw the same thing. You know, he for convenience-wise, he still wanted it.
And do you know, have you any idea what's happened to the house now, Patrick?
It's still the same.
Wow.
I passed it recently from the front anyway. It's still the very same.
And Susan, do you own your house, so to speak?
No, I'm a tenant.
You're a tenant as well. But surely you're a tenant to the same landlord, which is the council.
Exactly. I think they... kind of saying their hands are tied, they have to get a court order.
Yeah, that's what we were told as well.
Yeah, well, how long has this been going on, Susan?
Well, I think my first email went in the summertime, during the summer.
Yeah.
And
but, like, what about the neighbours on the other side?
On my other side,
yeah.
They don't seem to be getting anything like mice or rats or anything like that now. But there's another big wall on the other side of us anyway.
Okay.
In between us. So, no, they don't seem to be having the problem there now. They did say something about a smell during the summer, but it's coming from the front garden because the bins are under the bush as well and they haven't been collected for a long, long time. So there could be rubbish under there, a lot of rubbish under there as well.
I just say we tweeted the photographs on at RTE Liveline or at Joe Liveline. You can look them up now. Obviously, we had to cut them again. We had to crop them back because you don't want to identify them.
Yeah.
But I can say to people, what I can say to people is, in one of the photographs, in the first photograph on your left hand side, you can see again up at the top left hand side, you can see a small piece of concrete or building. That's the upstairs window. That is the upstairs wall of that house. You're not looking at it down. Just to give you a sense of perspective, that little bit of concrete you see in the way we've cropped it, that little bit of concrete you see is on the second level of that
upstairs
house.
Upstairs room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it's baffling.
Joe, I heard you asking about the neighbour on the other side.
Yeah.
I had spoken to the neighbour on the other side, and that lady was, she had retired. Her husband was close to retirement. She'd actually been born in her house, and they had got to the stage where they were talking about selling up and moving as well.
They were going to go, okay.
Yeah, Yeah, all, you know, and there was emails back and forth, and you'd email the council and someone would get a contact with you and say, yeah, we'll call out, and then you'd come back at them about 2 or 3 months later and that, you'd find out that that person now had been moved on to a different department, so you were starting again with someone else, and just got to the stage where I wasn't, you know, wasn't livable.
But what Patrick, rubbish goes on fire.
That's it, yeah, there was a big fear of that.
Well, we're always worried, you know, on a Halloween night as well that a firework might go into that garden. And
you'd have a forest fire, because it is a forest you have growing in the front and back
of
that garden.
Exactly, and the two cars as well in the driveway. We wouldn't have a hope that they went up.
When is the last time you saw those two cars being driven?
Oh, God, years and years. They haven't been out of that driveway in years. They're not drivable, I don't think.
Doesn't, well, they'd have to be. They'd have to. They need a lot of equipment at the front to get through that forest that they're now
in. Exactly. I don't even know how the guy from the environmental, from the council, got into that garden, and I don't know where he even got the traps in. But I spoke to him, and he was like, "God, this is going to be some job," you know.
These are the traps for the rats and the mice. And
the rats, yeah.
Holy moly.
But Joe, I had a TD knocking on the door around election time, canvassing, and I brought that TD out the back of my property and showed her what was going on beside me.
Yeah. And what was the reaction?
She was shocked, and she took a few photographs, and but we were in the middle of moving, so... she did email me, to be fair, that she had gone on to the council to ask them to have a look at it, but we were going at that stage, so I'd kind of washed my hands of it.
I got the same response from the TD. I got in touch with it as well, and you know, they'll give me all the help they can, and you know.
Okay, as I say, we've cut around the photographs, so not to identify, but You still can't get a sense of how awful this is. How awful this is on a suburban street front and back.
This is on a daily basis.
Yeah.
We're living with this. And I'm losing out on seeing my grandchildren as well, which that's the worst part of it.
Yeah. Okay, Susan, thanks for contacting us, and Patrick as well.
Thanks very much for taking the call.
Okay, let's see. Can anyone get a grip on this? Joe at RT.ie.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Where Liz, neighbours, not neighbours, but overgrown gardens and rubbish and vegetation and forests and jungles. What's your situation, Liz?
Hiya, Joe. I'm the very same here. So I have 4 or 5 cars in the front of the house and rubbish and dogs. I'm up at 6 o'clock in the morning to let out this dog, and the dog is barking until 10 o'clock at night. I've been to the county council. They've sent out the waste environment section, and just looked and took photographs and hasn't been seen since.
And what do you mean you're up at 6 in the morning doing? Oh, sorry, with the dogs barking.
Yeah.
Okay. How many cars have they got, a drive-in or whatever way they work?
They have, yeah, but there's usually one on the road, and then I just looked there this morning, there's a motorbike up the back, there's a car reversed up to it, and at the moment there's 2 vans and a car.
Are they running a business?
No. When they decide to move one of the cars or whatever, they're taking the insurance disc and tax disc out of one of the cars and putting it into the car they're going to drive.
Okay, so there's, and the smell, given the smell has come up in the previous calls, smell.
Yeah, smell of dog poo.
Oh.
You know.
The dogs are barking.
I can't understand how anybody can live in situations like that at all.
Yeah, and you feel you're powerless.
Oh, I'm powerless at this stage, yeah.
And would you say anything to them?
No, I've got fed up speaking to them, so I haven't asked them and that. so I put it into the...
Is there neighbours on the other side?
Yeah. We're not under the one roof now. You know.
There is a separation between... You're not on a terrace?
It's a housing estate.
Okay. But are they in an end house? Do you follow me?
No. They're right beside me. We're kind of on a straight line.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you find that you're powerless and you can't do anything about it. But you try it, but you can't.
You can't either. No. And I was just listening to Sarah there as well. My heart goes out to her as well. I was saving too in the credit union.
Yeah.
And had a small loan out and they took all my savings.
So the credit
to clear
union,
off the loan.
The credit union do the monthly management fee as well, is it?
Yeah.
Okay, we must look.
I was saving for, at the moment I've no TV, so I was saving to get in the Serbio, and my oven and my gas cooker was gone. So I was saving for that. I'm only living on €203 a week, and out of that I have to pay my rent.
What do you mean your oven and gas cooker are gone?
The oven in the gas cooker, that's gone. I only have the four rings on the top.
Oh, God.
So... Yeah, I know where she's coming from. I really feel sorry for her.
Okay.
My heart goes out for her.
Okay, Liz. Liz, if you think there's anything we can do about... What did you say about your television as well? What did you say?
I was with Sky and put the monthly subscription up to 70-something euro.
But I thought Serviu was Serviu, free view.
Yeah, but I didn't have Serviu. I had Sky.
Okay. And what have you had... Nothing is really important. The television, much less so, but...
Especially at night time.
Especially in a lockdown.
Yes. And as the fellow says, I'm so lucky I have you in the afternoon to listen to.
Okay, Liz, mind yourself. Okay, sorry I'm over time. Okay, back tomorrow at 1:45. Sian O'Gorman, producer, Ray Darcy next.